Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Harry Palmer opens the next chapter of Office Wife. Not 3 hours ago, I was right on the point of burning my boats, making a deal with Jeff Pilgrim and confessing the lot. And then, right at the crucial instant, I had a note from Stella Bronson. You see, Pilgrim had me over a barrel. To cover up writing that chit on the firm for £1,000, I told Marcia I'd use the money to buy a block of shares on her behalf. She believed it. But Pilgrim told her to ask me for the actual scrip. Well, of course, I hadn't a chance in the world. At least, I thought I hadn't till now. But now I'm with Stella Bronson. And there might be a chance with Stella helping. Well, it takes a good bit to shake me, Stella, but I don't mind admitting I'm flabbergasted that you'd offer to help me out of this spot.
You needn't be. I can see the way things are going with Jeff and Marcia, and you have to marry her. You just happen to be lucky, Palmer.
And you're actually going to do this so you can hang on to Pilgrim?
I'd do 20 times more. I won't let him go. Not now. Not to Marcia.
I'm beginning to agree with you, honey. I am lucky. Thanks a lot, Stella.
Don't fool yourself, Palmer. This isn't for you, it's for me. As things stand, you haven't a hope without me. And how you ever thought you were going to get away with that share swindle, I don't know. You must have been desperate.
I was.
What did you want the money for?
I'm afraid I can't tell you that, my puppet.
I can guess. You had to buy Angela Tennant's diary from Cedric Hooper, right?
I said I can't tell you. Oh, but one thing you'll be interested to know... The diary no longer exists. I saw it burn.
Did you really?
So now you've kindly come to my aid, I'm in the clear, once and for all.
At the risk of being tedious, just understand I'm not lifting a finger for you. I just can't afford to have you exposed till Marcia's divorced Jeff and married you. After that, I don't care a tinker's benediction what happens.
So there's no goodwill at all, eh, Pet?
Not that much. Will you do something for me now?
It'll be a pleasure.
You sure you know what to do and say about those shares?
Perfectly.
And clear out of here. I don't like your company. I don't want to be caught with you. I think that's fair enough.
I, darling, am in no position to haggle. Bye-bye. And for Pete's sake, don't change your mind. Oh, and Stella, thanks a lot, anyway.
You won't say thanks a lot when I produce Angela's diary, old boy. That's going to be my wedding present to Jeff.
I simply don't understand it, Mr. Fuller. There he was, right on the point of admitting to me everything he's ever done.
You put plenty of pressure on him, huh?
I told Palmer he was done for, but I wanted things cleaned up quickly. But if he made a full and free admission of everything, we'd press no charges.
Well, he can't possibly produce those shares unless he pulls another swindle. We've got young Shelley Falling watching him like a hawk.
Yes, I told him he hadn't a chance, without mentioning the Falling girl, of course. But just when he was ready to break, along came that note. The moment he read it, he turned around completely and ordered me out.
All right, Jeff. No need to go over and over the same ground. I suggest that you keep hammering away at Marcia. Don't give him time to buy any shares. Insist to your wife that he produces the scrip at once or else. O'Halloran Davis stocks quoted every day, but you just can't go about picking up big blocks of it.
I don't see how he can crawl out. I'm hanged if I do.
You doing anything tonight?
Nothing in particular. Why?
Get on that phone right now and see if you can arrange for you and Palmer and Marcia.
Sorry to disturb you right now, Marcia, but it's about those shares. Has Palmer come to light yet?
No, but it's quite all right, and I don't see why you should concern yourself.
I've told you why. I don't believe that rotter has any shares. When is he calling on you again?
Tonight, if it's any concern of yours.
Why don't you ask about them again?
That's entirely up to me. They were bought with my money, Jeff, not yours. It's absolutely no business of yours.
All right, you needn't set the phone on fire.
Well, I just can't stand any more of this. And you may as well know, Jeff, as soon as the divorce proceedings are over, I'm going away until the degree is absolute. And I don't want to talk about it any more now, so goodbye. And in future, kindly mind your own business.
Perhaps you'd better mind yours. Tressida Bendigo and Company. Goodbye, Marcia, darling.
Good. She made it easy for you. Palmer's going to be at the house tonight. Hammer at her, Jeff. She doesn't know anything about buying stocks and shares, and Palmer's had a week to produce the script. Tell her in front of him that she should have an investigation.
If she'll listen.
She went to meet you at the aerodrome that day, didn't she? Make her listen. You're still her husband, so use your authority.
You said once I'd been too stiff-necked about Marcia. Was that just a pep talk, or did you mean it?
Of course I meant it. If your trouble originated because you insisted on holding the whip hand.
I did nothing of the kind.
Don't be silly, of course you did. She was jealous of Stella. Instead of getting rid of the girl for the sake of peace and quiet, you got up on your hind legs.
Now look here, sir.
Will you keep quiet until I've finished? You got up on your hind legs and said, "My conscience is clear. I am pure." Words to that effect, and refused to give in to what you considered your wife's unjustified suspicions.
Oh, so would anyone.
Rubbish. Anyway, from what Marcy has seen of you and Stella since your marriage broke up, she's entitled to think that she was right all along.
I still say anyone with a shred of self-respect would have done just what I did.
Not if they tempered self-righteousness with a bit of good sense. Marriage should be a matter of give and take. And apart from that, women have always been bored by chaps who are too damn good. Look at the girls who fall for cads, sell their souls for them.
What are you getting at now?
Just this. If you went to Marcia and treated her a little bit rough, she'd take you back before you could say Humphrey Bogart.
Humphrey Bogart. Oh. She still thinks I swindled her uncle.
You go about it the right way, Jeff Pilgrim, and she wouldn't care a brass farthing who you swindled. There were no divorces when men and women lived in caves.
You may be right, but it's too late now.
You think it's too late, huh?
Well, don't you?
Ask me in the morning after you've had it out with Palmer tonight. But make it stick. You have to insist on seeing those shares.
Hello, Marcia. Can I come in?
Jeff. Oh, but really, Harry Palmer's here. I told you on the phone that I...
I know, that's why I'm here, too. Have you asked about your O'Hara and Davis script?
No. He's only just arrived. And I don't...
I'll lead the way and I'll ask him for you.
Jeff, before you go into the drawing room, listen to me. I will not have you provoking any rows.
You listen to me, darling. I'll provoke all the rows with Harry Palmer I please. I'm still your husband, so do as you're told for once. Come along, step on it.
Yes, Jeff.
Hi, Palmer.
It's you, is it? So we meet again.
Yes, I hope you won't find the subject tiresome, but I want another word with you about those O'Hara and Davis shares. Who was your broker? Brighten up, man. I said, who was your broker?
Fox and Bean.
You don't seem too sure of it. What about the script?
Well, how do you mean?
It's a week since you say you bought shares, so isn't it about time you had the script in hand?
Well, you know what brokers are. By the time they mess about with the transfer books and all that...
Look, Palmer, if you haven't the script by this time, I'm going to Fox and Bean myself. I think you swindled Marcia out of the $1,000 to pay off Cedric Hooper for
Harry,
that...
Harry, if you have the shares, please say so. And if you haven't, for heaven's sake, tell me why at once.
In front of Pilgrim?
In front of Jeff, yes.
Darling.
Less of a darling unless you want your head knocked off.
Well, I'm only trying to say that this is something I was rather hoping to avoid.
Yes, I'll bet you were. Well, what about it?
The shares, Palmer. The shares.
Oh, well, I suppose I may as well do the proper thing. Heave over my briefcase, would you, Marcia?
Oh, yes. There you are.
Thanks. It's locked. Safekeeping, you know. I wanted to talk to Marcia about these alone, but... there they are. O'Halloran Davis share certificates to the value of £1,000, bought and paid for in the name of Marcia Pilgrim. Are you happy?
Let me see those.
What have you got to say now, Pilgrim? Is your face red? It should be.
Palmer, how do you do it?
Just look at the poor fool now. Poring over the shares given to me by his own true little chum, Stella Bronson. How unlucky can you be, Jeff? All the shares she had, almost, and they just happened to be O'Halloran Davis pastorals. What's your wife going to think now, old boy? It's just about time I bought her a ring.
We invite you to listen to further episodes of Office Wife, written by L.J. Hardy, a Donovan Joyce production.